Wow, here we are once again, gathered all the girls, and you look fabulous. You look so wonderful and ready to receive from the Lord. So this morning, not unlike any other day that we gather, God has a word for you. It's a very personal message. Usually it is, but I just wanted to get that in there. This message is not for the girl sitting next to you or the girlfriend that stayed home today. This is a message for you. And the Holy Spirit is here. He already started ministering through the worship time, praise and worship time. And He wants to speak to you individually. But you know, we have to know that. We have to be ready and say, God, today, like Dion said earlier, today I am desperate. I promise you, if you say, God, today I am desperate, I want a word for my life, you are going to hear it. Because I'm not here proclaiming anything that I came up with, but only the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword and is able to do exactly what it is that you need this morning. I know you came in here with different scenarios, different situations that you are facing. Just be at peace, knowing that God knows exactly where you're at. He doesn't get confused. He doesn't have too many girls to take care of. His word says He knows how many hairs you have on your head. I mean, that's pretty detailed right there, right? So come with that faith this morning that God knows exactly where you're at, and the Holy Spirit is here to minister to you. So let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the many gifts that we are enjoying in this place. It's already burning up hot outside, and here we sit. In comfort, God. In air conditioning, thank You, Jesus. Comfortably and listening to Your word with Your Holy Spirit and Your very presence in this house this morning, ready to minister, ready to heal, to restore, to speak, to impart. And we want to open our hearts to You this morning, God, and say, come, have Your way, do Your will. Father, let Your word be powerful this morning. Thank You, Lord, that it is not a message from a man or a woman this morning, but it is Your eternal word, and we are grateful. And we give You all the praise, and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So take out your Bibles. We've got a bunch of scriptures for you this morning. And we are going to see what God has for us. I was 2 days ago sitting on the beach, watching the waves on my day off and just relaxing and thinking, wow, what a busy day I have tomorrow. That would be Wednesday. And I got a phone call from our pastor, and she says, are you ready with a message for Thursday morning? And I said, of course I'm ready. You know, when your pastor, if I trust my pastors with my life, my spiritual walk, with my destiny. Now, if they ask me to do something, why would I think it's not God, right? So God speaks to us through the house, and God speaks to us through our leaders anyway. So the moment I hung up on the phone, God gave me the title of the message, and as I was thinking a little bit, boom, 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 1, 2, 3 points. So I know this was not me, okay? I didn't have weeks to prepare, but just want you to know that God has a word for you. And on the side, just a little spaghetti here. Do you know that we have multiple girls listening to our podcast all over the place? We get emails from the East Coast, from the Carolinas, from the Northern States, from the Midwest, from all over the place of women that tune in and listen to our podcast. So if they're listening today and thinking I said beach and they have a little jealousy coming up, yep, this is Southern California and it is a good place to be. The weather is great. So come see us. Come to Women Rock Conference. That's weird. Talking to people that are not even here. Just forgive me. That must have been for somebody. So, you know, and I, after God gave me the message, I got home and just very in character for me, fell on my face and said, oh God, give me a message. And God said to me, get up. I got it. You just go for it. So, you know, a word of the Lord, one breath of God, and change everything. And I want to talk to you this morning about, the title of my message is Protecting Your Destiny. Okay? Protecting your destiny. I don't know if it's because I'm turning 50 in a couple of months, you know, that I'm thinking this way and future and destiny and purpose. And God, I want to make sure before I check out to come to be with you, I just want to complete what it is that you have for me here. But our destiny as believers has to do with God, it has to do with you, and it has to do with others. Okay, within your destiny. And when I say destiny, I'm not talking about predestination. We leave that for a Bible college class. I'm talking about God through the blood of Jesus that had predestined you, everyone that would choose him, for blessing, for prosperity, for purpose, for a plan that God has for you. So if you're sitting here and you're not totally devoted to Christ, not living out life for the Lord, some of these things may not apply to you. Because we are not talking about destiny the way Hollywood prescribes it to us, the way society says to us, the way your girlfriend, when you call her, tells you, you know, on the phone and gives you advice when it's not God. We are talking about not missing the plan that God has for your life, not missing the destiny and the purpose why God had placed you on this earth. Okay? Not missing it. Now, yes, you can miss it. You can even be saved. You can even be devoted to Christ, have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can still miss the fullness of the destiny that God has for you. Now, I know this is a huge theological subject. All I want to say is the Word of God says He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And I felt that this message from the Lord came as a warning, because the way God gave it to me actually was destiny destroyers. That I am here to give you a warning that your destiny, if not protected, stands vulnerable to be destroyed. And you will live a life. You will see Jesus, you will go to heaven, but your life on earth would just be falling short of that place, not of perfection, because life is never perfect, but that place that you get to that you say, wow, this is amazing. Like this morning in worship, this is amazing. This place of worship is a place that's part of my destiny. I was created to worship God. And we need to be wise. We need to think about these things so that we don't miss, so that we don't live lives always complaining, always thinking God is blessing someone else, always thinking your life is just not the same as someone else. Everybody else has more than you have. This whole victim mentality passage I talked about this morning. This is not God's will for your life. This is a very personal message. God is interested in you. His word is for you. This message is for you. So I pray, rather than just listening every time you come to girlfriends, have out your notepad, have out a pen, take out a pen, because God is going to speak to you. As the message and as the word and as we read the scriptures, God is going to speak to you and see what it is that God is saying for you in particular. Forget about everything else right now. Forget about those around your table. Forget about where the message is coming from. Think God. Think Jesus and say, Lord, I'm ready. And just be ready to take notes on what the Holy Spirit would have you, would tell you. So this is a warning that, and I'm saying to you this morning, God has a plan and He has a destiny for you. God is desperate to lead you and to keep you. He already proved Himself. If it cost you your son, if you had to sacrifice blood in your family, would you be desperate that some good come out of it? I mean, that's on a human level. But God is desperate to lead you, to keep you, because He saved you. He gave you Jesus. He paid for your sins. He paid for your shortcomings. He loves you, and He wants you to be fulfilled. I'm not saying free from the things of the world, but in the midst of your circumstances, standing victoriously. Say, my priority is the Word of God and what God has to say about my life, and not my circumstances. And girls, there is a way that you can live beyond your circumstances. And that's exactly the place where God wants you to live. and God's instructions will teach you. So we're going to look at some destroyers of your destiny this morning, and then I'm going to give you some points on how to protect. So we're going to look at the things that would destroy, and then what is it that will protect your destiny. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, a very well-known scripture that we're going to go to, and we're going to read that. So this is the Message translation that says this: I know what I'm doing. This is the Lord speaking. Have you ever asked, God, do you know what you're doing? Where are you? This is him answering you this morning. He's saying, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. I have plans to take care of you, says God. That comforting? Not abandon you. Scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Plans to give you a future you hope for. Sometimes we are a little reluctant to look at the future. One of our points will deal with that, because of fear and because of past disappointments. And the Lord says, let's go on with this scripture and see what it says. When you call on me, says the Lord, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. There is something you have to do. You have to call, and you have to come, and you have to pray, and God says he will listen. It's a good message right there. We can preach, right? On he calls, well, you come and pray. When you come looking for me, the Lord says, you will sometimes find me depending on your circumstances. Okay. Did you hear what I'm saying? You know, that's not what it says in Scripture. Why is it that so many of us live that way? Okay? When you come looking for me, he says, you'll find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Dion introduced that thought this morning when she said it didn't happen until she got desperate. And that is when everything became real. And this is the word of God saying to you this morning. God says, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. And then he says, I'll turn things around for you. How many of you sitting here this morning saying, God, I need some turning around of some things in my life. I seriously need some turning around. So listen up. We're going to look at destroyers. The first one that will destroy your destiny is wrong people, wrong alliances, and wrong relationships. We were sitting on the beach, as I told you, when I thought about this message, and my children were sitting there, my boys, they are 19 and 21, and I said to them, hey guys, if I should ask you this question, what is the greatest threat you have in this life as far as anything that could destroy your destiny? Now, my one son immediately answers without missing a beat. The boy is young. And he said, oh, it's easy, girls. I said, wise boy, wise man. Just, you know, I have imprinted this in the minds of the little boys that I will get it. Women can take you places. And my other son, I said, so what do you say? He says, Mom, I'm relaxing. It's my day off. Because what he's really saying, please don't start preaching to me. I preach to my kids all the time. So this truly is the first point. Whatever it is in your life in the form of people, wrong alliances, wrong relationships, will have the capacity and the potential to destroy your God-given destiny. That is a lot of power to give to someone else. The power in your life to destroy your destiny. So wake up. Watch out. What is God's word saying? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So this presupposes that you may have good habits, good intentions. Nothing bad about your habits and intentions, but you're in the wrong company, it will change you. It will affect you. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You know that little relationship, that little alliance that you have on the side that you think, nah, that's not important. I'm not saying God doesn't send people in your life to minister to. We'll get to that. But by the Spirit of God, as you're listening to me this morning, the Lord will even now show you what those relationships are and alliances are, that it is the will of God that you step away from. It is the will of God that you break it off. It is the will of God that end it right there, because it has the potential to absolutely steal and destroy your destiny. The next scripture says, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, many young boys, I'm talking to my boys about these things on the topic of girls, and I warn them, I say, don't mission date. What do you call it? Missionary dating, right? Or mission dating. No, you girls do that too. You date the guy because he needs some help, right? You hang with the guy because you know you have all the answers to his problems, that you will save him. It only takes you so long to figure out that you're not Jesus. You're not the Messiah. You're not Holy Spirit Junior. It is really a decision that has to come from any individual. And I'm not saying that God doesn't put people in your life to minister to for a season. But this is a warning again here. A warning. Do not be unequally yoked with believers. Yoked is that you are doing life with somebody in very close proximity that is not set on following the path of Christ. You are so yoked with that person that you stand a chance of and a potential of being drawn into the direction of the other person. Before you know it, this could happen. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Let's think a little bit. Let's make it practical. Think about, okay, your life now. Think about when you were the ages 16, let's say 16 to 19 years old. Can you go back there? Go back, just in your mind. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just think. Think 16 to 19 years old. What if your life that you are living today was set on pace back then? Can you see it? Can you see whatever happened? If you had wrong alliances and didn't break it off, it still affects you today, no matter how old you are, right? Thank God, if that was a time that you turned and made a decision for Christ, that also sets you on a path towards the destiny God has for you. Now my question is back to today. Think a little bit again. Who is it that you are doing life with today? Because the people in your life that you are doing life with today is a very good indication of where you will be in 5 years from now or in 10 years from now. So see who's in that first circle around you. And see who are these people. And if you have people you minister to, again, that's one thing, but the people that you share your heart with, the people that you do life with, who are they? Because if you see their faces right in front of you right now, that is a clear indication of where you are headed right now. And some of you, I know this is the word of God, the word of the Lord for you, some of you need to make some very serious decisions today. And I will prove it to you further on. Okay, so here's the protection. As far as relationships can destroy, that's destroyer number one. Let me back up a little bit. As far as relationships, if, like I said before, the disclaimer is none of this really applies to you if Christ and God is not number one in your life. We do understand, right, that we presuppose that at this point that we're talking about relationships, God is number one. Because if God is number one, is not number one, you are on a losing path right there. If God is not number one in your life, you are already on the wrong track. Okay? So that goes without saying. Well, we just said it. It goes with saying that God is number one. But where you put people, you know, in that priority, and who these people are, what they represent is a clear indication of your destiny. So how do we protect it? Choose relationships well. You actually get to choose your relationships. I'm thinking of an example in the Bible that God has put on my heart, and I've been thinking about it for the day or two or so, about the relationship between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth. There was Elizabeth, an older woman that was barren. She could not have children, and her husband Zechariah ministered in the temple. And he really wanted a baby, but they were old and barren, and they couldn't have children. And one day as he was ministering, the Lord spoke to him, an angel appeared to him and said to him that he was going to have a baby, that his wife was going to get pregnant. That was Elizabeth. And we know that she gave birth to John the Baptist. But then we read on in the first chapter of Luke, and we see that here's Mary, the virgin, and had a visit from an angel also. And the angel came to Mary and said to her, "You will be with child," and gave her the prophecy that she will have Jesus. You know what is just so fascinating and so interesting to me? The Bible says at that point, Elizabeth was already 6 months along in her pregnancy. But when Mary heard this, and Mary was related, they were cousins, some other relation, you know, between Mary and Elizabeth. So when Mary, this young little virgin, heard the message from the angel of God, she must have immediately thought about Elizabeth. Because by this time, she probably knew, you know, that Elizabeth was pregnant and this was a miracle, and that the husband Zechariah said that God had appeared to him, and the whole miracle and the whole supernatural issue about it. So here's Mary. The Bible doesn't tell us about the rest of her family. They're right where she lived. What about her mom? What about her other friends? But isn't it a beautiful thing to just envision? Here's little Mary, pure and precious little woman, with this amazing message and this amazing task on her life, not task, but purpose on her life. And what does she do? The Bible says she took her things and she made a way to get to Elizabeth. And I think that is amazing. Who is the Elizabeth in your life? Who is it that you go to? I think that was a wise decision of hers. To go to Elizabeth, to go to somebody that experienced what she experienced. Somebody that was full out in service for the Lord and went. And then the Bible says she got there, and you know what all happened when Mary said hello, you know, the baby inside of Elizabeth leaped. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she started prophesying over Mary. How many relationships like that do you have when you hook up with your friend and you say something, the Spirit of God rise up inside of you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you start prophesying to one another? How about some more of those relationships? And then the beauty, while we were singing this morning, I was thinking about it. Then if you read further on, the Bible said Mary sang. Have you read that before? In Luke, go back and read that. Mary had a song, and she sang it. And there's Elizabeth, and the song is, you know, about how good God is and how wondrous and nothing is impossible to God. It's Mary's song. And Mary had a little friend called Elizabeth that sat and listened to her song. I love that. I just love that. Don't you desire that? Don't you desire to have that friend that will just sit there and just listen to your song? If you don't have a friend that will listen to your song, ask God right now. God is here. He hears the desires of your heart. The Bible said this morning, we call upon him. He hears godly connections, godly relationships. Then we see, of course, the Bible is filled with not so godly relationships. We see Solomon. We're not going to go there, but here's Solomon. My goodness, 700 wives. A man of God, 300 concubines on top of that. So that was his thing. Would you say a man with 1,000 women, that women would be his thing? You know? He had a thing for women, I guess. He took advantage of that law that said they could have them. So he had enough of them. But at the end of his life, the Bible said those were foreign women. Not because they were foreign, but those pulled him away from God. And at the end of his life, here is Solomon, the wisest man ever, sacrificing to idols, burning incense to foreign gods. Didn't start out that way. But he gathered around him all these women. Do you think it may have had something to do with his flesh? Maybe just a little bit? Gathered all those, whatever he felt he was entitled to, no matter what. And that pulled him away. And that can happen to us, all of us. Godly relationships. Carefully consider the people in your life. There are people that God sent in your life for a season. For you, maybe to minister to, maybe to love. Isn't it true? If you think of friendships, sometimes God sends you somebody and there's an immediate connection. It's such a wonderful thing. And then it kind of goes away again. They are seasonal relationships, and that's okay. You need to be wise enough to see that if that is a seasonal relationship, let it go. That's okay. Maybe somebody put someone in your life that needs you, that you would minister to that person. Some relationships are for life. Nothing can separate you. My daughter was telling me this morning, a girl that she went to high school with, and she is now 4, 5, 6, or 7 years post-high school, and this girl lives in Virginia. She just called her again yesterday, leaves a message. I know you are so busy, but I've been thinking about you. This girl just keeps the connections, and she has decided, I am not losing connection with this friend in my life. And it takes something. Maybe you need to, you know, think about that. Who is it? That's a God person in your life that you have not given attention to, that you need to maybe connect with. Last night was such a blessing. How many of you were in the house last night? We saw how one person can influence so many people in so many ways. So many people stood up and testified to Pastor Jim that Pastor Jim is the God person in their life. He's the right relationship at the right time for the right reason, and it changed their destiny. You heard the testimonies. These other pastors were telling how their destiny and their life was changed by their alliance with our senior pastor. It is beautiful, and it's not just for the pastors. It is also for you. So, you know, all of us have to make some hard choices sometimes. This is the part I want you to just search your hearts. See, what is it that the Holy Spirit is telling you? What are the relationships that you need to break? Who are the relationships that you need to give more attention to? Because it holds potential to bring you into your destiny or to take you away from your destiny in God. And you know, sometimes when you linger and do not break relationships that need to be broken, the longer it goes, the more difficult it gets. And I'm not saying you walk out of here and just go to someone and say, psh, cannot be your friend anymore. You know? Pray. Ask God. Listen, you don't have to send anybody away. Just raise the standards. Tell them about Jesus, morning, noon, and night. Invite them to church. Send them scriptures. Encourage them in the word. So maybe they will be saved. But if they are there drawing you away, you may have to just say, you know what, I'm going to go this way and that way. My best friend in high school, it happened to me with my best friend in high school. I was thinking about this morning. We were young. I wasn't married yet. She met this guy and she just came to church with me and she got saved. And when she decided to marry this guy, I just knew he was not a born again believer. And I sat down with her. We were so young, but I sat down with her. I was just so hurt, you know, that she would choose to go marry somebody outside the faith or whatever, you know. So I said to her, do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you are about to marry someone who's not where you are right now? You're going to have to spiritually kind of step back to stand next to that man. And she said these words to me, I know that, but this is my decision and this is my choice. What that did, it is without words, it broke our relationship because, you know, darkness doesn't like fellowship with light. And, you know, I was just preaching to her too much and she didn't want to hear it. So guess what? She started avoiding me. There was one way of breaking a friendship, you know. She started avoiding me, but, you know, living a life unequally yoked will not bring you to your destiny. Number two, destroyer. Let's look at number two, destroyer. Wrong thinking, wrong understanding, wrong beliefs. Whatever is going on in your mind is not godly. It's ungodly. It's either a lack of understanding, a lack of knowing, or it is actually sometimes believing in something but the wrong thing. And the Bible talks about the heart in this sense. Bible talks about the heart. The heart really encompasses the soul, which is your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So the Bible actually talks about multiple times how your mind talks to your heart. There's some talking going on the inside of you. Your mind is talking to your heart. And your heart is talking to your mind, but between your heart and your mind and in your soul realm is nestled that place, the seat, I want to say, of what it is that you believe, what your motivation is, what your standards are, how you make decisions and how you make choices. According to what do you do life? And according to you, what do you make decisions? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Wow. Just look at this. The Bible says, the way you think, so you are. So if your thinking is wrong, according to God's word, you are somebody that God does not mean for you to be. That is pretty powerful. I said to you, friends and alliances are powerful, but this is very powerful. The belief system that is seated in your heart will actually take you to your destiny, or it will divert you away from your God-given destiny. Let's see what the word of the Lord says. How do you explain, okay? How do you explain how life happens? It's all seated in your heart. How do you explain when things happen and decisions that you make? Okay? So your wrong thinking is about God, is about yourself, and is about others. I told you your destiny has something to do with God, something to do with you, and something to do with others. So as far as you are thinking, what is it that you are thinking about God? What is your concept about God? Generally, this is not rocket science, okay? You don't have to go and fast 10 days to get this. What is it that you believe? Do you have a general belief that God is good? Or do you have a general belief God is out to punish you? That gives you a clear indication. Do you think God is merciful in your life? What about when you see other people sinning? You think God is still merciful? How about when those people are sinning against you? Do you still see God as merciful? That's usually where it stops. Get him, God. Get him. Right? So what is it that you believe about God? It will set you on a destiny. How about yourself? Who are you when you are alone? What is it that you are thinking about yourself? This is a tough one. I've had to fight many battles in my life as far as that goes. As you can tell, I've got red hair. I've got freckles. I grew up in South Africa. I don't know if this was the way it was here. But I was teased when I was growing up about the way I looked. I was teased about having red hair. I was called names because I have red hair. I was teased because I have freckles. I was called names because I have freckles. And that really set me on a course to total destruction. I cannot tell you how long it took. And this is not things that I said about me. These were things that other people said about me. But it had a grip on me. It had a powerful grip on my mind as to how I saw myself. I saw myself obviously not measuring up with anybody else. I saw myself obviously in a place that I was inferior. I saw myself obviously in a place that I'm the ugly one in the bunch. And that is a horrible place. Horrible place to be. And it is only by the grace of God, because you know what that wanted to do with me? That wanted to make me a nasty person. That wanted to make me call other people names also. That wanted me to curse other people's paths too. If they do this to me, I'm just going to believe that I'm just nobody. and make me angry and make me depressed and make me bitter. And when a God opportunity came in my life, I was going to say no because of what I believed of myself. How can this be God? He doesn't even see me. I'm one of his little kids that play in the backyard. He's busy with the big kids in the fancy room, you know. I'm the inferior one because that was the message, part of the message that I grew up with. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the truth of the Word of God. I thank God for every preacher and every message and every pastor and every scripture that has helped me dare to believe God. That maybe somewhere deep inside of me, there is something that God can use. Because in the natural, that was not the destiny that I was on. But it took God to flip some things inside of me. That is why I'm passionate. That is why I want to bring you this message and say to you, if there is something in your life that is telling you you are no good, or you just messed up too many times, or you just not all that, because of your family, because of where you come from, because of the things you've said, because of the things you've done, I want to say no. That is not your destiny. Your destiny is in what the Word of God says about you. And the Word of God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. How can it be, God, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made when I'm all full of freckles? How is that possible? I look at the smooth, beautiful, dark skin and I'm thinking, oh, that'd be so nice if God looked down on my arms. And now I'm turning 50 and I don't care anymore. I'm like, you know, I'm still going to have it. A funny little story. My husband was in a horrible accident, some of you know, many, many years ago, and he had to get some skin grafts done. Now, my husband had a body. Okay. The man looked good. He still does. Body burned up. He almost died. Doctors had to, you know, transplant some skin on him. So, you know, men sometimes, he doesn't have freckles, but he's got these. Have I told you the story before? About the freckles? Okay, he has these little freckles on his shoulder, you know. And after he came out of surgery, that was the only place on his shoulders where the doctors could actually scrape some skin off to plant on his legs. And the man has always had just the best looking legs ever, okay. So he came out of the hospital and he started healing and all that. And I'm like, oh, now my husband has freckles on his legs also. So I say to him, you just want to be like me. So I took some of the freckles on his shoulders and planted it on his legs. See what it feels like to have freckles on your legs? It doesn't feel really good, but I just love him even more. So your mind needs to be renewed. Listen to this. Out there somewhere is a tribal person in Africa. A missionary comes to town. Missionary speaks about Jesus. Preach salvation. This person stands up and receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he knows that he has now accepted the God of the universe into his life, into his heart, in love with Jesus, born again. And a week later, he gets a headache. What is that person going to do? He is going to go to the witch doctor. Not because he's not saved, but because he doesn't know. So when you don't know and really believe what God's destiny for you is and that it is good, you are going to divert to what you know. And you're going to be in error and you're going to be saved, but not on a path to your destiny. So this is where it's at. Your thinking and your mind need to be renewed. It need to be redeemed. You are now redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But you also have to be renewed. It doesn't happen all automatically. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to make it your purpose to find out what is it that God says about you. And that is what you have to believe. And that is what you have to go according to. Not go with what you know. Go with what comes easy, but go with what God thinks about you. And that sometimes is totally contrary, most of the time, of course, contrary to what you are thinking. But as long as you are in line with the Word of God, you're in a good place. That's why you need all the help you can get. That's why you have to have an Elizabeth in your life. That's why you have to come to girlfriends. That's why you're sitting around these tables. Not to criticize each other, to judge each other, but to encourage one another. To say, yes, this is who you are, sister. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep choosing God, and you will not go wrong. So this is a good place. Where are you at? Okay, so how do you protect this issue about relationships? How do you protect your destiny in connection with relationships? You keep your heart. Keep your heart. The Bible says not to follow your heart. What does the world say? Have you heard people say, just follow your heart? How many have you been told that? Anybody ever told you, is that how you feel, sister? Just go with it. Follow your heart. The Bible says your heart is exceedingly wicked. Your heart is not for you to follow. The Bible says keep it. How many of you keep your homes? Silence. Okay, we're going to take a trip to your kitchen. How many of you would be okay with that? Let's not get to that. Oh, dishes in my sink. So the Bible says, keep your heart the way you keep your house, the way you keep your garden. You keep, how many of you just never ends? The dishes just never end. She just cleaned up, takes one sandwich, and voila, there are the dishes again. Just take the kids to make one turn in the house, and it's not kept anymore. Garden? Just, you weed today, 1 week later you look and you say, where did this come from? Last week I just weeded, but where did this come? Your heart is just exactly the same way. That's why the Bible says keep your heart, okay? Keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. It's like it never stops. Tell your friend next to you, it never stops. It never stops. You have to keep it. And then you have to keep it, and then you have to keep it again. For our why? For out of it flows the issues of life. Listen, life, your destiny flows out of your heart. How does it get in your heart? Through your senses. It goes to your mind. It goes, you read, you listen, you hear, you smell, you taste. And all of this gets processed in your mind and whoops, drops in your heart. And so your heart becomes the seat or the file or the folder or the whatever container of an accumulation of your experiences, your hurts, what worked for you, what didn't, what you know and what you don't know. And out of that heart is flows everything. So the Bible says, if you want to make sure you walk the destiny that God has for you, you have to keep your heart. You have to protect your heart. You have to watch what comes in and what settles in your heart. Because what is in your heart is not necessarily God. Just because it's in your heart, it's not necessarily God. Just because it feels good, it's not just God. When something feels right, so what? It doesn't mean that's God. Many times, it's what doesn't feel good at the time that it is God. Something that you know, I'm doing this over, I'm keeping it. Forgive me for using my daughter as another example. She's just been studying forever, many years. And she said to me just this morning, you know, I was preaching this to her. I just ran it by her. Anyway, we had coffee together this morning, and she said, Mom, after all these years, she's 25 now, right? 25 years old. Always been a student. And she says, you know what, Mom? For the first time in my life now, the last couple weeks, literally, the last couple weeks, I am feeling, wow, things are coming together. It was just always in, always tilling the ground to a point where she almost lost it at one point. So down, so deep, so discouraged. But kept on in the hard times, kept on in the good times, proclaimed the scripture of God. When everything told her she couldn't do it, she says, God, I'm doing it for you. And one day, if you do that, you're going to wake up and say, wow, this is a good moment right here. Maybe not out there, but right here. How many of you have felt that? I feel it right now. This is a good moment right here, knowing that God has a plan, He has a destiny for you, and He is telling you, girls, watch out. don't let the destroyer take it from you. Okay? So protect your heart. Psalm 37, 30, and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks justice. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. So you see the connection here between what is in your heart and your steps. So according to this scripture, if you have ungodly beliefs and thinking and faith in your heart, unbelief and ungodly, you will slip and you will fall if it's not for God. And you will not slip towards your destiny and your purpose. You slip away from it when you slip like that. Okay, in the Bible, your heart and your mind, all of that is involved when we talk about knowledge and we talk about wisdom. Okay, on a realm of coming into your mind. Pastor Debbie says ROC, women ROC, stands for redeemed, reconciled, restored. Yeah? Redeemed, reconciled, restored, occupying Christ's kingdom. That's what ROC stands for. We are women who ROC, who are redeemed, reconciled, restored, occupying God's kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We need to be redeemed. Psalm 86 says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Have you ever heard about a divided heart? Have you heard about a broken heart? This is your prayer. Unite my heart. Father, put me together. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forevermore, for great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered me, my soul, from the depths of Sheol. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart. How does it get in your heart? You actually have to pick up your Bible in order for it to get in your heart. Or come to church, listen to it. One, that I may not sin against you. And then verse 165 of that same psalm says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to what? Stumble would be not getting to your destiny. Stumble would mean destroying your destiny. Law of God in your heart. Read all of Psalm 119 when you have time. Make a note for yourself. Go read. It's all about the Word of God and how precious it will lead you and guide you. Proverbs 2, verse 10 to 12. When wisdom enters your what? How does it get to your heart? It gets through your mind, through your experiences, through your emotions, through your connections. All of that, it gets into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion, this is a fantastic promise, girls. Listen to this. Discretion will preserve you. When you have God's word and God's wisdom in your heart, you will actually have discretion. It will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. That is our answer to live by. Let's look at the final destroyer of your destiny. Do you have speed for one more? Do you have grace for one more? This one is a good one, okay? I got to share this one because this one just kind of seals the whole thing. Here we go. Wrong vision. When I say vision, vision meaning the view of things unseen. When you look in the Old Testament, God gave visions, right? Through angels and through dreams and through prophets, God spoke. He revealed to the people those things that are not visible and clear in the natural realm. Okay? That was what a vision was. Just a peek into the supernatural or into the future or into the destiny. That was a vision. In the New Testament, we just started the book of Hebrews. Do you remember the first verse in the book of Hebrews? It says, in the old days, in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets. What does that verse say? We started it Sunday. Pastor Jim started it Sunday. What does that verse say? But now, God speaks how? Through Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 1. He now speaks through Jesus. So, as in the Old Testament, they saw visions and had a peek into the supernatural, into the things that's not visible with a physical eye, through prophets, Now, things have changed because through Jesus Christ, we now have access to the very presence of God. So through Jesus Christ, He lives inside of us. Through His Holy Spirit, He is in our heart. And now I have the Holy Spirit in me that will lead me and that will guide me. Okay, so let's look at this one. Vision is a divine revelation in the Old Testament. Here's what I want to say about vision in the New Testament. It talks about looking into the supernatural realm there where you can't see. How does that look in the New Testament? This is what it looks like. Spiritual discernment or spiritual revelation because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is now with you. My scripture in John, if I can find it. Do I have it here? John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth that will be inside of you, okay? And not for the world, but for the believer. So here is your way to protect yourself as far as the vision. Hear from God. Hear from God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hear from God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can spiritually discern. Okay? Now, we don't have time to go into all of that, but spiritually discern is being desperate. We read in Habakkuk, we read about this man that went before God and had all these questions for God. His life was a mess. There was war around him. He went to God. He said, God, show me. God, why? God, why? It's okay to ask God questions. And he said, I will sit. I think it's the first verse in the second chapter. He said, I will sit on this post right here and I will wait to hear from you. How about that? How about getting that desperate? Lord, I am not going to do anything more. Well, now you have to live. You have to move on. But I am going to spiritually wait for you. I have these questions. Answer me. And God came and God spoke to him. And he said, write the vision. Make it clear. And then he said, and then wait till it is fulfilled. And then the next scripture says, for the just shall live by faith. So you need a word from God. You need a spiritual discernment. You need a word from God. When you're desperate enough, He will show you. Filled with the Holy Ghost, He will show you. He will give you spiritual by means of use, the Bible says. You will get wise and you will discern what is God and what is not. Because you need a peek into the spiritual. You need a peek into the supernatural. Without that, you will not get to your destiny in life. Okay? So we need that peek into the supernatural. So first of all, let's recap and we are ending. Point number one. What was that again? This is a test. Choose relationships well. So what is it that you need to be doing about that? Second point is keep your heart, because out of it comes all the issues of life. And number three is hear from God. Spiritually discern, supernaturally, by the Spirit of God, and that will protect your very destiny on this earth in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So go to your tables and